Well, good morning. Some of you are old enough to remember the Life cereal commercials where the two boys were pushing back and forth the bowl of cereal and saying, I'm not going to try it, I'm not going to try it, and then they pushed the bowl to poor little Mikey. Well, I think that Pastor Jim and Pastor Nate we're pushing back and forth today's passage and saying, I'm not going to preach it. I'm not going to preach it. And then the light bulb came on. They said, let's give it to poor little Tony. Sure, Pastor Jim had the excuse of going to Kentucky on a mission trip. And Pastor Nate, who knows, he probably had to work on his tan or something. Anyway, I was given Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, so that all of you parents can get mad at me. All kidding aside, I have greatly looked forward to walking through this passage with you, because the Bible's teaching concerning children and parents is just as relevant today as it was when the Bible was written. God's eternal truth never changes. And since God created us, he obviously knows what is best for us. And yet sometimes we replace the eternal truth of God with the foolishness of man, and we see the consequences all around us. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. When we walk in the counsel of the wicked, we willingly place ourselves in bondage. We buy into the lies that destroy ourselves and others, and we are surely not blessed. The Bible is extremely clear as to where those who profess to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior are to go for truth and for wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible is completely sufficient. It equips us for every good work. And yet sometimes in our pride, in our unbiblical understanding of what we call wisdom and what we call love, we somehow think we are smarter and more loving than God. Picture it this way. If there were five chairs up here, and in those five chairs sat Skinner, Maslow, Oprah, Dr. Phil, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who would you run to for wisdom? Obviously, if you're a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would run to Jesus. And not just for truth about children and parents, but for every area of life. And yet we often run to the other chairs, and we bypass the same wisdom and the same truth that was available when Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? We are foolish when we look for wisdom outside of God's word and from those who do not believe the Bible is sufficient. The teaching of Ephesians 6:4 is desperately needed if children and parents are to trust and obey God in their God-given roles. As we walk through Ephesians 6:1 through 4 today, I want all of us to seriously consider whether we're building our life and our doctrine and our family on the eternal word of God, or are we building on the wisdom of man, which God says is foolishness? Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Starting in verse 1, we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, you alone are the perfect Father. By your grace alone, those of us in Christ have become your children. Lord, please, through the power of the Holy Spirit, working by and with your word today, would you both convict us and comfort us that these children would live for you and honor and obey their parents, and that these parents, including myself, would bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, the last 2 weeks, Pastor Jim and Pastor Nate did a wonderful job teaching us how to maintain unity in marriage for the glory of God. And today we're going to look at how to maintain unity in the family for the glory of God. Now, as we work through these verses, we know there are no perfect children and there are no perfect parents. Yet, if we know Jesus as Lord, our desire is to be the best and the most biblical children and parents that we can be for the glory of God. It's the love, it's the grace, it's the mercy, it's the holiness of God as seen in the gospel that motivates us to be God-fearing children and God-fearing parents. When a person truly believes that Jesus is fully God and fully man, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was raised from the dead, when you've genuinely repented and thus desire to live for him, you will die to yourself and live for God in your God-given roles in life. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Notice that verse 1 is addressed specifically to whom? To children. This tells us that the book of Ephesians was read in the church when children were present. So right off the bat, we have some application here. Parents should include their children, at least those who are old enough to understand verse 1, in corporate worship. Children as well as parents are to sit under the reading and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. It is both healthy and biblical for children to see their parents in worship and to see others in worship. Verse 1 goes on to teach that God commands, he doesn't suggest, he commands children to obey their parents. Are you listening, children? You are to submit to your parents. You are to willfully and joyfully obey your parents. Obedience in Scripture always starts with a heart attitude that seeks to please God for his glory. When a child obeys outwardly and yet complains and pouts and sighs and talks back, they are obviously not obeying. The attitude of "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside" doesn't cut it with God. Colossians 3:20 says, "When children obey the parents, it pleases the Lord." Children, if you truly know Jesus and you truly treasure him above all things, you will want to obey your parents for God's glory. Now, verse 1 does make a qualification concerning children obeying their parents. Verse 1 says to obey your parents in the Lord. And children, to obey your parents in the Lord means to obey your parents unless they're telling you to sin. When I was growing up, everyone had a home phone or a landline with this long cord attached to it. We didn't have cell phones, which was probably a blessing. But when the home phone rang, children were often in the same room as their parents, and their parents would tell their children to tell whoever is calling that I'm not home. God hates lying. So if your parents tell you to lie, you are to respectfully tell them you are to obey God. If your parents ask you to sin in any way, no matter how small or big it may seem, you are to respectfully tell them you are to obey God. To obey your parents in the Lord also gives the idea of obeying your parents with proper motives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Obedience is always first and foremost as unto the Lord. Verse 1 also teaches it is right for children to obey their parents. God has commanded this, so it has to be right. God is never wrong. He is always good. He is always just. And God, in his wisdom, has set up authority structures in the home so that parents, or so that children, would obey their parents. To not trust God's wisdom is simply just plain foolish and rebellious. Disobedient children tear down unity in the home. And when this happens, God is not glorified, and no one, including the children, benefit. Children who do not honor and respect their parents are not likely to honor and respect any authority in life. And parents, we also need to remember that even as adult children, we are to respect our parents and to be there to help them when they are in true need. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. The commandment in verse 2 to honor your father and mother is number 5 on the list of the 10 commandments that were given by God to Moses. And the commandment to honor your father and mother is listed first among those commandments dealing specifically with horizontal human relationships. And the reason it is first is because it protects all of society. In general, as the family goes, so goes all of society. Social stability is impossible apart from honoring those in authority. Without honoring authority, there is always chaos and there is always disunity. The family is, always has been, and always will be the foundation of the human race. And since the family is the foundation of the human race, it should not surprise us that one of Satan's favorite attacks is the family. When the family is destroyed, the devil has a party, and he loves it. And all of these attacks on the family are based on the so-called wisdom of man, which is demonically influenced, and which God says is foolishness. Here are some of those attacks on the family, and they all start with a rejection of authority. They're all attack on the foundation of the Word of God. Some of these attacks include abortion, professing believers marrying unbelievers, any sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman. This includes premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, etc. Pornography, divorce, husbands and wives not fulfilling their God-given roles in marriage, unbiblical parenting, biblical priorities out of whack, and any number of a million different idols in the hearts of both children and parents. Satan is a master at attacking the family, and sinful human hearts blindly follow him. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Life to the full, however, is found in trusting and obeying God's word. When children obey their parents in the Lord, they honor their parents and they live life to the full. Children, honor your father and mother. Verse 2 also tells us that obeying the command to honor your father and mother comes with a promise, and that promise is found for us in verse 3. Look with me at verse 3. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. So the promise in verse 3 is that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. The promise given in verse 3 was originally given by God to Moses. And the promise in the Old Testament referred specifically to living a long life in the physical land of Canaan. Also in the Old Testament, if a child physically attacked or cursed their father or mother, they were to be put to death. They were to be stoned to death. So what does this promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land refer to today in the new covenant after Jesus' death and resurrection? What does it mean for us? Well, we are always blessed, at least spiritually, when we honor and obey our parents. The meaning of this promise for us today in verse 3 is that obeying your parents leads to a better life, at least spiritually. A life lived well does not come with many of the consequences of a disobedient, rebellious life. We reap what we sow. A life of rebellion often ends early. And even if it doesn't end early, it's not truly a joyful life. I mean, the Bible says that there's pleasure in sin for a while, but it will come back to bite you, and it bites hard. Life usually goes better when we obey our parents. Now, let me also share with you what verse 3 does not mean. Verse 3 is not teaching that if a child obeys their parents, that they are guaranteed they will have a long, healthy life. There are times when godly, obedient children who honor their parents have very difficult lives and do not live to old age. Children, trust the one who created you and who knows what is best for you. Obeying God glorifies God, and obeying your parents leads to a better life. Well, now we move in our text from the God-given roles of children to that of parents. And we parents must also reject the wisdom of man, which God says is foolishness, for the truth of God, which is best both for us and for our children. Look with me at verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And notice here in verse 4 that Paul addresses fathers. Why? Because fathers are the head of the home. Moms are not to provoke their children to anger either. And moms, under the delegation of the father, are also to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. However, the father is the ultimate authority in the home, yet he must remember that he too is under God's ultimate authority. In a family where there is no father, mom, you have the very, very difficult responsibility of leading and bringing up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Verse 4 commands. It does not suggest. It commands fathers to not provoke their children to anger. If it were not a temptation for us fathers to provoke our children to anger, God would not have had Paul write this in verse 4. Fathers are to put off the sin of provoking their children to anger. Now, what are some ways that fathers do provoke their children to anger? Well, by not spending time with their children, by not genuinely listening to them, and not genuinely taking an interest in their lives, by not telling them they love them, by not showing affection, by not encouraging them, by showing favoritism, comparing them with other children, mocking them, and name-calling, by being critical and mean through a domineering, rigid attitude, by being sinfully angry themselves, by not repenting, confessing their sin to their children, and asking forgiveness from their children, by not practicing what they preach, by not keeping their promises, by not being a good husband, by reversing marriage roles, by enabling and worshiping their children, by not disciplining them in love and consistency, and through physical and sexual abuse. Fathers, we are not to treat our children in ways that provoke them to anger, to be bitter, to be discouraged. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Yet, children, please listen. You cannot blame your sinful anger on your parents provoking you to anger. They cannot make you sinfully angry. No one can make us sin. Some of you adult children were terribly sinned against by your parents, and that has to be a very difficult thing. And because of their sin, maybe you are tempted to be angry today. Maybe you're blaming, justifying, or ignoring your anger or any number of sin patterns today because your parents provoked you to anger. But that is blame shifting, and it's sin. No one but you is ultimately responsible for your sin today. If you struggle with anger or any number of sin patterns, we have a team of biblical counselors here at LifePoint who would love to sit down and help you through these things. You saw the promotional video earlier, and there's some information in the bulletin today about the Soul Care Ministry. Now, remember, this is the Soul Care Ministry. This isn't the Soul Train. We're not going to teach you how to boogie, okay? We're going to help you in your sin struggles and help you with your trials in life. Verse 4 commands fathers to not provoke their children to anger. That is the put off. But verse 4 also tells fathers to put on something. Look with me at verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Verse 4 goes on to say that for fathers to truly and genuinely go all the way in obeying God, they must not only put off the sin of provoking their children to anger, they must put on bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 gives us a beautiful word picture of what this looks like. There we read, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, parents. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." For parents to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, they must teach first by example. Parents must love the Lord with all of their hearts. And parents love the Lord when His commands are on their hearts. Parents are to lead by example in showing their children how to live a godly life, to teach them by example that life is about nothing but living for the glory of God, and that Jesus Christ is our greatest and most precious treasure. For parents to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, they must also teach the Bible diligently to their children. Parents should read and teach the Bible to their children even before they think their children can understand. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The Greek word for childhood in 2 Timothy 3:15 refers to a very, very young child. We have a wonderful children's ministry here at LifePoint and a wonderful youth ministry here at LifePoint. But parents, the primary responsibility for the evangelizing and discipling of your children belongs to you. It belongs to me. And for parents to do their job, they must be discipled themselves. Children should be taught and trained to read the Bible every day from the moment they know how to read. And for that to happen, we parents need to be in the Word every day as an example to our children. In addition to formal times of teaching the Bible, parents are to talk with their children about the things of God when they walk by the way, when they sit in the house, when they rise, and when they lie down. In other words, all of life is to be Christian education. There are teaching opportunities all around us on a daily basis that we can take advantage of. Our girls, Anne and Leah, they love to watch movies. So we cuddle on the couch and we watch family movies often. And in every one of these movies, there's always someone who is worshiping something, some person, some place, whether it's money, what other people think about them, treasure, whatever. And there's always lines in these movies that is based on man's foolish wisdom. So from a very early age, I would ask the girls while we're watching the movie, "What is that character worshiping?" And they got it right away. They would say, "Well, he's worshiping money. He's worshiping himself. He's worshiping what other people think about them." And then we would hear lines in the movies such as, "Follow your heart." Church, that's from the pit of hell. The Bible says our hearts are wicked and deceitful above all things. We're not to follow our hearts. We're to follow the written word of God. Parents, we must shepherd the hearts of our children and point them to the gospel and their need of the gospel rather than just focusing on outward behavior, which is nothing more than behaviorism, as one of the chairs would teach. We must focus not only on the what of their behavior, but the why of the heart. What are they worshiping? What are they doing? Why are they doing this? Our goal is not to raise little Pharisees or little Eddie Haskells from Leave It to Beaver, but children who love the Lord with their entire being and who love, honor, and respect their parents. The book Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp is a must-read for every Christian parent. It's on the back of your notes. I would highly recommend you read that to shepherd not only your children's hearts, but also the heart of yourself. Parents must teach their children by example and instruction how to put off sin, how to renew their minds with Scripture, and how to put on obedience. Godly instruction shapes the mind through teaching children to trust and obey God. For parents to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, they must also discipline their children biblically. Parents must combine biblical teaching with biblical discipline. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Children do not need to be taught disobedience. All of us are born from the womb with sinful, wicked hearts. That's why Proverbs 22:15 tells us that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Parents who love their children and want to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord will use the rod. They will lovingly and consistently spank their children in connection with loving instruction. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Here's how Dr. John Piper answers the question, would Jesus have spanked his children if he would have been married and had children? Dr. Piper says, "The book of Proverbs says, if you withhold the rod, you hate your son. Jesus believed the Bible, and he would have done it. Now, you don't damage a child. You don't give him a black eye or break his arm. Children have little fat bottoms so that they can be whopped. When my sons were 3 and 4 years old, at their worst stages, drawing on the wall with crayons, they knew what was going to happen," John says. "So one day, just to give you an illustration of how this works, I found an orange mark on the wall in the hall upstairs, just about Barnabas's height. So I say, 'Come here, Barnabas. Did you make that mark on the wall?' 'Yes.' I said, 'We have a rule against that. You know you can't draw on the wall with your crayons. You're old enough to know that.' 'Yes.' 'So what should happen?' 'A spanking.' I said, 'That's right.' So I take him in the room and whop. And when he's done crying, there's a big hug. And I say, 'Don't do that again, okay? Daddy loves you. And we don't mark on the walls, okay?' 3 minutes later, he's bouncing off the walls, happy, happy, happy." Pastor John goes on to write, "Spanking is so clean, it's so quick, it's so relieving. A kid feels like he's done atonement and he's out there happy and playing. To these modern ideas of time out or sitting in the corner, I say baloney. Give me a spanking, I want to go play." He goes on to write, "I just think spanking is really healthy for children. It's a measured deliverance of a non-damaging act of mild pain that makes the child feel the seriousness of what he's done. It's not beating. It's not abuse. There's a clear difference. The very word spank exists because there's a such thing as a loving way to whop a child on his behind." To Dr. Piper's answer, I say, amen. Spanking is healthy, it's biblical, and it's loving. Parents, Spanking is never, ever to be done in anger. It's to be done in self-control. To obey God, to love our children, to do them good. We are to lovingly spank them in connection with loving instruction. If you follow man's wisdom in the raising of your children, you will not help them. You will harm them. God created us. He has given us his eternal word, and he obviously knows what is best. Fathers, do not tempt your children to be angry, to be bitter or discouraged. Love them. Discipline them in love and instruct them in love by the way you live and by what you teach. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you for your word, which is the only source of true wisdom and of truth. Father, for those of us who profess to know you, may we reject man's wisdom whenever and wherever we see it. Lord, please help these children to honor and obey their parents. And Father, we parents desperately need your help to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of you. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen.